Reason TV now dives into Reason Magazine. The 45th anniversary edition is now yours. And we're talking with Matt Welch, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, and Catherine Maggie Ward. She's the managing editor. And this double issue features the 45 enemies of freedom. And that's on the cover. That's what you tease inside. Why enemies of freedom?
Well, 10 years ago for our 35th anniversary issue, we had 35 heroes of freedom. So people like Milton Friedman, obviously, and Dennis Rodman. So we figured 10 years later, things have gotten a little bit dark of late. So let's talk a little bit more about enemies of freedom. And it was a way to talk about some of the people who are kind of getting in the way of the world being a more interesting place.
Yeah, you have Osama bin Laden, Michael Bloomberg. You have Robert Mugabe on there, who's certainly an enemy of freedom. How did you put the list together, Catherine?
So it was a super scientific process in which we polled Reason staffers about the people that they hate, and then we eliminated all of their ex-girlfriends and other personal vendettas, and then we had this fantastic list of 45.
And you've got some great names on here, some surprises. Jenny McCarthy. How is she an enemy of freedom? She's a Playboy model.
She's also been one of the most vocal people spreading the myth that vaccines don't work, and people have taken this and have died as a result of basically not taking a vaccine.
And Catherine, you have a degree in philosophy. I see John Rawls is on there. How is he an enemy of freedom? And was that your pick?
It was my pick. I confess to putting John Rawls on the list. And it's actually all his fault. I'm gonna say that, you know, Michael Bloomberg took our number one spot, but Rawls could easily have been there. He provided all of the kind of philosophical underpinnings of modern political philosophy, modern liberal thought in particular, the ideas that the whole state should be structured around equality rather than liberty or rights.
Yes, and this notion of justice, which is very deeply flawed. And obviously one of your picks is Jeffrey Loria, the owner of the Florida Marlins.
Yeah, big art dealer guy, super duper rich, apartments in Manhattan. He bought the Marlins about 10 years ago, and he has been systematically lying to the city and county of Miami and Dade and Florida, trying to get tons and tons of subsidies. Basically, he's got $3.4 billion worth of public money when all will be said and done to finance his stadium, which then immediately after he got his fancy stadium, he sold off all the best players in the team. They're in last place. He's just a smug jerk, and he has really bad taste in art.
Well, there are other articles in the magazine, of course, an interesting journey to North Korea. Tell me about Michael Malice and what he saw there, because we've seen in some travel books that they glorify these places, and it's not a glorified look, it's a very honest look.
So Michael Malice is a pretty weird character. He's a professional ghost writer, and he actually went over with the idea to possibly gather some material for a fake ghost-written autobiography of a dear leader or two. But what he came back with was this travelogue for us, which included kind of getting to know his tour guide and seeing what life is really like to the extent that you can on one of these tightly controlled trips. The one kind of, I think, really interesting point in there is it's not frozen in time in the way that we might think. It's frozen in many times. So it's actually the horrors of 80s pantsuits and the horrors of 1950s style technology and the horrors of, you know, military and sort of speech and thought oppression.
And lastly, I mean, you're a huge music fan. Cuba has always been the reigning leader. Mambo has always been the sounds that we think of ringing out of the Caribbean. But in fact, Jamaica has taken the crown.
Part of what the issue looks at is how's the world changed since 1968, since Reason was started in May of 1968. And one of the interesting ways is that Havana, which has always been the cultural capital of the Caribbean and exported mambo and salsa and other things, under communism, they choked off all of this freedom to create. They choked off record production. Obviously, they put all artists on the public dole in a way, and that kind of domesticated them. Meanwhile, Jamaica had just become independent and started this very anarchic musical system, which got into ska and eventually developed reggae, so that you had what was previously a backwater in Kingston was a global music capital by the late 60s and early 70s, while Cuba kind of withered away into insignificance, even though the music that Cuba had launched meanwhile took off in the rest of the Caribbean and the United States. It's a real sad story about a country that once was very, very rich in terms of cultural production.
All right, so there you go, freedom from many different angles. A lot to read in this double issue, so pick it up now. Matt and Catherine, thank you very much. And you are a hero to freedom, just for being here. For Reason TV, I'm Kennedy.